To America, welcome to the tall war. Our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say, just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back! We are back, all you itchy onions. That's right, we're here. We're all sporting the gear. That's right, yes. The Hop This Way crowd is large and in charge. And look, Rebecca's even going with the tong jacket too. That's right.
Yes.
Loving it all. Y'all look great. And folks, don't forget, you can look great too if you want. All you got to do is to go to my shop. Go to the Hop This Way show on myshopify.com to get your very own Hop This Way gear. And thank you for tuning in. And big up to Derek Chin, who tuned in early and said, you know you're a Warrior fan when you show up early for a YouTube show. I have to set to notify me. I have it set to notify me. That's amazing. Love to hear it. And the Bombshell Blurred YouTube didn't tell me tonight. That's right. Welcome back, Bombshell Blurred and everybody else. What a time to be tuning into the show, because I think I speak for all of us. Hoon Lee knocked it out of the mother effing park with this episode. I'm sorry. Let me just do this just for our departed Matt. Hoon motherfucking Lee fucking knocked it out of the park. This episode was so amazing. Before we get into that, though, let me just welcome you guys to the Tong here. I'm your boy Zeus, and with us every week we've got, of course, the lovely and talented Miss Stephanie Young. How are you?
Oh, good. So excited.
Everything's okay.
I feel like I'm traumatized by this episode. Oh my goodness.
So traumatized you had to go out to Western Mass.
Yes. Some of my friends' place. And you've got all kinds of things. There are guinea pigs over here too.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And of course, down right below me, the one and only Miss Rebecca Nishi, the yogi herself. How are you?
I am fine.
How are things in Brazil today?
Everything's same, I think. I don't know.
Awesome. And then, of course, last but not certainly not least, is the professor himself, the RCFU, if you will, Mr. Frank Zhang. How are you, sir?
I got one thing to say to no character this week in particular. How could you?
We're going to get into the shit, but oh my God, can we? There's so much to cover, but my.
So much.
My Ling, what the fuck? Like, literally, what the fuck? We're going to get into why I'm saying that later on into the show. We don't want to kind of jump ahead. But a lot of people are comparing this episode to Game of Thrones Red Wedding. They're calling it the Grey Wedding I'm seeing online. I don't get the gray part. But, yeah. Let me just start off before we do the review. Steph, I'll give you the floor first. What did you think of this episode?
It was intense. There's so many parts and pieces, and just hats off to Hoon Lee. That was just ridiculous. That was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it twisted our emotions. I mean, yeah, it was action packed. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
The Bombshell Blurred agrees. Hoon killed it and killed Kompok, literally. And I think at this point, we're not giving away any spoilers. If you're a fan of the show, and if you're watching now, you know this is a review show. And RCR coming in saying, fam! What's up, fam? How are you?
Listen, RCR has been to Hilo, you know, my little second home over there on the Big Island. Oh yeah, Big Island lover. Yep.
Well, I'll be heading that way maybe for my birthday. We'll get into that more a little bit later though. Customs for the Kid says definitely one of the best episodes this season. It may have been one of the best episodes of the series. What do you think, Rebecca?
Give me 1 minute. Like,
I was shutting my eyes like this many times in this episode. I didn't want to see it. In, you know, Bill's fight in the jail. Father Jun waking up crazy at night, attacking young Jun. I don't know, many times. I was like, I don't know. I don't want to see what's going to happen.
Frank, do you concur? Was this an intense episode?
This is why they brought in Mark Dacascos. This scene that he was in, his farewell scene, was why they brought in Mark Dacascos.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
That scene. That action scene. On top of the emotions.
Yeah. They did so well with this episode. And what a testament this is again to, and I hate to, this is not me to, like, cause I'm giving Hoon Lee all the flowers in the world, but this is just goes to show you how great of a showrunner JT is to be able to be like, yes, I trust one of my actors to write this episode, not even to write this episode, but to write one of the most important episodes in the series history. Like, hats off just to everybody, but most especially to Hoon Lee for just again knocking it out of the park.
The dialogue,
right? And I want to see more of it. Customs for the Kid says Mai Ling wasn't wrong; she read the room properly, just not her new husband. Did she though? Like, I mean, she read the room right, but did she handle it right? Was she a little premature? Or did she have to move that quickly?
Mai Ling Corleone.
every week, more and more so, right?
Yeah, I think it's like the bad thing that comes for the good, because now finally, Leon can see Mai Ling for what she is. He was blind. He didn't want to see. Now he was obliged to see. And now maybe he can finally take over the tone, because
I mean, the conversation with Chow. Yeah.
The conversation with Chow
is like, what do I do now? Like, it just.
But she can't do it that way without you.
That's Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, the bombshell blurred says Mai Ling is fully in her Cersei Lannister era. I think she's going to fall just as hard. Oh, yeah. RCR says go ahead. I was just gonna say RCR says no cold open. Let's talk about that. I didn't notice, honestly. I didn't even pick up on that, and I watched the episode twice. Like, I just watched it again before we did this this episode. Yeah. Did you guys pick up on that?
Not until someone actually commented in the Warrior group. Yeah.
But I did notice that the episode seemed to start kind of quickly. Just kind of felt, whoa, okay, we're in here now.
Yeah,
because usually we have a moment to kind of like think about the previous week, think about what happened up until that point. But yeah, we're going right in. So
yeah, the fight scenes were so good. A toy's nose bite stole the show. Says,
oh my god, that was
Customs for the Kids. I'm sorry. Just because they said that.
Look! You bit off my fucking nose! Okay?
I hate weddings.
I mean, Olivia, wow, right?
Right.
She is so good. Yeah.
Another weapon for Stephanie to get crazy about.
Yes. Okay.
How do you call that? Fan?
The fan, yeah.
Yes.
Love that. That's right out of Street Fighter, though.
Fan with the spikes.
That was right out of Street Fighter with the fan with the blades coming out of it. The elders didn't want a woman in charge of the tongue. She did the right thing, says Customs for the Kid. I guess. First time ever. What's the first time ever? Oh, right into the titles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna watch it again just to see for that, which is how it goes with my brain. So speaking of my brain, let's get this right off from the beginning here. We open up with the wedding of all weddings. We have the guests are all lined up there. Surprise, I guess.
Sis?
I guess with them doing the crossover, it makes sense, right? Or not the crossover, but the two Tongs now working together, because that's how they got young Juno. It makes sense for them to go there and kind of bend the knee, if you will. But this was shot beautifully, this wedding. And I was expecting fireworks. I thought there was going to be some kind of brawl in this wedding scene, and we didn't get any of that.
And notice how they use much more contemporary music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do something like stereotypical. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Not that they would. They
need Gordon again.
Yeah. They also didn't use any red. I wonder what the reason for that was, because that's one of the biggest colors you would see at any Chinese celebration.
Yeah. She had green. Isn't that another big one, like emerald and stuff? Or is that just like a misconception on movies?
Not as
stuff?
Much as red. No, red's the main color for luck. A celebration.
That's good. Especially luck.
Yeah. The lion dance. Yeah,
the red envelopes.
Yeah. Red envelopes, red lanterns, red dresses for the bride and the groom. Usually the groom will have something that's across his, that's strapped across him like it's red. But neither of them are wearing any red. I wonder what that, what the reasoning behind that was. That was interesting.
Yeah, that is. That's maybe something we could look up and find out after.
But the bride getting carried in, yeah, that is a part of it.
And then, of course, this was a nice little scene. Oh, look at what do we see in the background there, Steph?
Three of them.
Look at that. Supporting. Love it.
My sister, Heather Joy, my other sis, Ronnie. Look at, you know, I mean, they're geeks.
Listening.
Your ladies look fantastic.
They've been binge watching, yes. And now my sister has my niece hooked also.
Nice. All right. So let me ask, which one's your sister? All right. So who's your favorite character on the show so far?
Right now I'm so madly in love with Lee Yong.
Yeah, Joe. No doubt. Yep.
Yeah. And I got here and she was gushing. She went on a whole tangent, like, oh, when he's training, and it was a riot. It was an absolute.
I really love the consummation of the marriage scene.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was that, but no, really, it was bringing Father June home.
Nice.
That was the part that made
it. Right, that was such a beautiful moment. And yeah. what was your favorite moment? The friend.
Ronnie.
What's that? Oh, nice. And was that your favorite moment from this week too? Was a toy or?
No, I actually didn't really. I think my favorite line of that was the "I hate weddings." But it now prior to that, she's my favorite.
Well, speaking as a divorcee, I totally agree with her. You ladies look great, though. Thanks for representing.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mike Baker says, Hoon Lee, Massachusetts represent. The Leon dance during the episode looked kind of northern style to me. Okay, yeah. And the bombshell blurt says, yeah, Leon is my boyfriend as far as I'm concerned. I mean, yeah, I guess so. Was this the dance they were talking about? Probably not, right?
No, the lion dance where they actually had the lion costumes on.
Oh, just the regular lion dance.
And they were in red though, right? Like they were red lions. I don't know if that's.
It can be different colors. That doesn't have to be just red. It can be gold. It can be red. It can be black. It can be other colors. So depending on if it's northern or southern, those are the two main styles of lion dance. Can't tell you the difference between them. I just know that they're two distinct main systems. So people in the warrior fandom out there who are in Kung Fu schools, you guys could probably supply some information in the comments.
Please do. RCR says they were gold. Oh, okay. The dragons.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm colorblind. I'm not. We also saw Chan, a toy, talking and not really enjoying the wedding. And then, of course, Lee made another, I should say, Chow stopped in, saw Lee there back in a Secret Service outfit. And looks like they're going to go back to being strange bedfellows.
Yeah, but what about what, you know, Chow said to him? Seems like you, you know, okay with killing people or not killing people, that whole portion. And then he said, maybe you feel more comfortable without a badge on.
Chow roasted Lee is some of the best dialogue on the show.
Yeah, well, that's what he does. And if you ever listen to Hoon Lee and interviews about the show, he roasts. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his name. Lee's real name. I had him on the show.
Tom Weston Jones.
Tom Weston Jones. Thank you. He roasts Tom all the time in interviews. So I think they're really good friends. Sir. Yes, sir.
Key finger dick punch.
Oh, stop it. We're going to have to, you know what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go back and I'm going to have to create a clip of that so that we could just reference that every time we want. Oh my God.
He said that.
I didn't even remember when you guys were doing it until she said
it. But he had a whole part in this one. A whole scene in this one.
Which was great.
Nicholas Pauling. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
So we saw after the wedding, Mark and Joe meeting up with the rest of the heads of the Tong, and you know they gave him his gift, and then afterwards the kind of the heads all left, and Mark tried to, you know, reason with Joe, like with Leung, like, listen, like, we're with you, we're behind you being with Mai Ling, but now you can be the voice of reason to her and things of that nature. And what he was saying wasn't anything that was really all that defiant. It seemed like he was speaking for not just the betterment of the Tong, but also realizing this is one of his best friends and not trying to disrespect his wife. But sadly, it didn't seem to go over too well. Joe just, Leung just kind of is like, oh, Mai Ling, thanks you for your concern. Right. And goes on his way. What's the term these days? And I'm sorry, I'm not saying he is, but is this him kind of falling in the simp category? Am I using that correctly? You ever heard of that, simping for a woman?
Anyways. No, I mean, I think I've heard it like once or twice, but not in regular use. Like,
yeah. I don't know, is Leung doing this?
He's more complicated. He's loyal. He's just too right, attached to his moral values or something.
True.
But hey, also completely love her.
Yes.
This probably also didn't think what was going to happen would happen. So that's also him thinking before the fact. So as far as he knows, it's just Mai Ling is not going to go any farther than investing money without telling people. Yeah, you know, that was as far as she went before that. And this was a huge jump up for her.
Oh, there's one more thing that I wanted to, just another scene I wanted to bring up just because I just love this so much. I don't know why. Oh, we missed it. Sorry, I'll rewind it. Just a little wink. And then you'll see young June not too happy at all with that one. So we move on from, you know, Mark trying to reason with Leung there to the mayor being sworn in again and winning and just giving his usual hate-filled speeches about how they were going to get the Chinese out of town. And he had a couple of his new political interests in the crowd as well. And Leary was going to go up there and try to start shit right away. And Strickland was like, no, man, like, listen, I didn't hire a dog. Like, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, you know, you got to play this smart. Do you think, are we starting to see the cracks there? I know at the end of the episode, we might see the end of whatever, but I'm just, do you think we're seeing the cracks with Leary and Strickland?
It was bound to happen. They're from vastly different classes, and they are still different in terms of identity. You know, to the Chinese in the show here, they're just ducks, but they're one's more quote-unquote American. I still say at the time, and the other might identify more as an Irish born in Dublin. So, and on top of the fact that one's a rich railroad tycoon, the other one's an Irish bar owner. So there is, it's about time. It's about time that partnership lasts.
True. Well, another partnership that's looking really strained, and I wouldn't even say it's a partnership, but that's Bill working for his brother-in-law. When the unexpected happened, it seems Bill's brother-in-law was paid a visit to and told to give Bill a promotion. So Bill's been promoted to working in the office. I don't think this is going to last either, though. Especially with how things ended in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Because you can see the look on Bill's face being condescended to this amount. He's like, oh, he's not having it.
Yeah, telling him when he was like being so basic with how to work the books and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be able to handle this?
I do like how this season, because they said they want to create the worlds of the Chinese, the Irish, and the aristocrats. And Bill's brother-in-law kind of belongs to that aristocrat class, and so does Strickland, definitely does. So now we're seeing more of the conflicts between the Irish and the aristocrats. You know, so it's interesting. It's, it was based off of what was happening at that time, right? It was considered the robber baron era. So it was people who had a lot of money who took from the people who were working.
So
very interesting tidbit, because as my sister has been having my niece watch the show, Ronnie actually made this an educational moment for my niece. She said, you know how my cousin married into this such and such family? And my niece says, yes. She said, yeah, that family, there were a bunch of Stricklands. My niece is like, oh. The relevancy
wary of aristocrats. So from here we go to a pretty emotional scene. We see Father June in the middle of the street, and Hong and young June find him there, and Perry's got his wits about him at this point, doesn't know how he really got there though, and he basically tells Hoon to beat feet, and just so he and young June can have a moment together. And this was a really, really touching scene. And I said it earlier, this is some of the best acting we've seen Perry do so far on this show. And that's saying a lot, because he's a great freaking actor, especially on this show. But this moment between him and Jason Tobin, I mean, was just so, I mean, beautiful. It wasn't heart-wrenching. It was just beautiful to see that moment between father and son, and seeing how, you know, that dynamic that so many of us have to go through, where we go from the one that was protected from our parent to protecting our parent ourselves, right? So I thought this was just so well done. Directed great, but another great piece of writing here by Hoon Lee.
Danny Gordon.
Danny Gordon directed this episode, yeah.
And Father June for the first time remembered young June's mother without saying something bad about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a caring moment.
That's true.
He said, I remember that, but I didn't, I'm out here with no pants.
That's right.
The last time they had that conversation on that bench was at the end of season two, where Father June was passing on the torch essentially to young June, and in that first conversation he was saying that wanting to be feeling like a 25-year-old and wanting an itchy as shit is a dangerous feeling for a man my age. And I think at that point he recognized he was kind of at his limit when it came to those, when it came to the brutal life he was leading, but he had more and that pushed him over the edge.
For sure.
Psychologically. So it's also very, especially on a Western show, it humanizes a lot of the experiences of people who were coming from China to the US during that time. Because you, if you read about that era, you know there was a lot of violence, there was a lot of poverty, there was a lot of desperation, there was a lot of feeling of despair because you're in a country that is hostile and you're trapped within your community because you can't cross the language barrier and you don't have any rights as citizens. But this kind of starts to show the effect that can have on a person. You know, it's because of, you don't think of Father June as having been through a lot in his life because of how Perry plays that role, right? He's always got that stern, mean look, but now you're starting to see, okay, this is the effect that it actually has on a person or could have on a person potentially.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
The truth starts to come out.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they're all uneasy truths as well that they have to deal with, right? Which is, I mean, the emotion of it and just this season, maybe. Now I hear a couple detractors from the 90% of people who love this show. There's like maybe less than 10% that are complaining about there being a lack of action this season. But I mean, whatever lack of action there may be, the storytelling's been off the fucking chart this year, and they just keep bringing it each and every week. And I feel like the show is better in the third season than it has been in the first two, which I think is saying a lot about this show.
They go deeper. Those scenes, it feels like the scenes, you know, are more meaningful, even more meaningful, and go deeper. Yeah. And that's why they hit harder. Why I'm like crying half the time because they're very triggering. Because these are all real life. These are just. It's historical fiction.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sorry, as you see, we got some socials down there for you on the bottom of the screen there. If you want to follow along, you'll see some of our stuff here. So we got some comments though as well. I want to get to here. Custom for the kid says Kung Pak wanted Lee Young to promote the elders' agenda. I mean. Their agenda was just keeping Mai Ling from what they thought was destroying the Tong, which I guess if she's the head of it, she should be able to run it how she wants. RCR says she's pushing Lee Young to his limits. Desmond Roman says Lee Young is whipped. RCR says, was I the only one who let out a big sigh when Father June was lucid? You're not yes. alone. I was so relieved when he had his wits about him. And Desmond says, it's sad that it had to take an illness for Father June and young June to become so close. It is. And sadly, that's the way it seems to go in life with a lot of people. You know, you don't really appreciate things until you're about to lose it or until after you've already lost it. So I love what they're doing with this, honestly. Another relationship that's been nice to see develop over the seasons that didn't start off that way in the first season has been Leary and Bill. The two of them are back in the Banshee, and this is just after what are the boys' names that are in jail?
The Donahue boys.
The Donahue boys. When the Donahue dad cusses out Leary for not doing more and being too much of a politician. And Leary and Bill have a kind of a conversation at the bar, and they're like, you know, you still got some friends down there, do something. And Bill just like, fuck it, let's do this.
I was not expecting that.
You weren't expecting Bill to go and try to let him out?
Mm-mm. I like this turn. You know what I mean? This is an episode for Bill. This is definitely, I mean, this is huge, but I was not expecting that twist. Didn't expect it to happen.
No, because they go to the jail and ask to have the Donnellys let out, or the Donnellys, the Donahue boys let out. And who is it they're talking to? Is it Sean?
Nicholas Paul and Nicholas, Harrison. Nicholas, Harrison. Right? Yeah.
And he finally acquiesces and lets them downstairs. And just as they're about to let the boys out, Chief Douchebag shows up and does the unthinkable and tells Bill and Larry that either they can both go to jail or Bill can fight him inside the jail and everybody would be free if he can put him down. And Bill was, he's like, all right, I'm game. But Billy wasn't all that game in this fight, was he? Bill was taking some beats in this fight. And I mean, things were looking hairy up mm-hmm. until.
This cell is going to be your new home.
Please, stop. Stop.
I thought he was quitting here.
That? You had enough?
Please,
stop talking.
What a great scene.
And I love the Atwood mentions, like, aren't you the big Bill? I want to see it. And I was like, yeah, he's the big Bill. Where is the big Bill?
There was the big Bill in that one. And did I don't know, did you guys notice, or Frank, did you notice the old school boxing style that he was uh-huh. using, like the old from the bare knuckle boxers of the olden era?
Yeah, it was cool to see Larry turn to a corner, man. Keep your fucking hands up.
Yes.
I don't think Larry can take too many more fights, honestly. I think he takes another chest shot, he's dead.
Yeah.
Because he's twice.
He might be semi-retired now.
Yeah. We got a lot of comments here right now.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Austin Judd McCarthy, thank you so much for joining the show. First time here. That's crazy to me, to be honest. I haven't felt like there's less action at all. The action is arguably better than it's ever been. Maybe slightly less frequent, maybe. Not enough to notice, really, to be honest. And I couldn't agree more.
I mean, the Mark DeCascos and the Joe Taslim scene, it is the best dual scene.
Right.
So far. It tops Zing and Leong. It tops Leong and Assam. Just the skill level by both those actors and the stunt crew. So shout out to Brett for that. And yeah, also Brett, shout out to Jason to show those two
and
different
just starting styles. With the hands, even just
Yeah. Doing the bare knuckle boxing versus the kung fu fight. That's Brett and his crew. That was awesome. That was great.
That's why he's the best in the business. The fact he doesn't have an Emmy win right now is fucking mind-boggling. The bombshell blurred says, right, the elders want some checks and balances. Mai Ling's out of control and still going behind Li Young's back. I couldn't agree more. I think she is out of control. And I don't see a way out for Mai Ling. I do not see a way that she survives this series. I'm not saying she doesn't survive this season, but I think if we get a fifth, like I know next year would be four season, but if we get a fifth, she's not making it to that fifth season. Like she might die at the end of this season.
Or she might just be in a spot where she's no longer in power. And then maybe she's on the run.
Yeah. And Assam has to protect her.
Is anyone else getting stressed out about what's going to happen in episode 9?
Oh yeah, always.
Oh, incredible!
Like because this is going to be the one. I just warned the two of them. I said, I'm just warning you. You really need to prepare. Something is devastating is going to happen.
Are we going to talk about the last scene, or are we going to wait?
Yeah, we're going to wait. Yeah, Desmond says he's already got his MVP, and he says beating the snot out of the crooked chief made Bill.
He delivered on what a lot of us wanted to see.
Yeah, exactly. And we've just we talked about it before the show. We're thinking about changing the MVP of the show to the warrior of the show. I don't know why we never thought of that.
Warrior
before.
Of the week.
Yeah, the warrior of the week. Derek Chin says
Niels Clancy, who plays Chef Atwood, the same amount that I hate the character is the same amount that I admire the actor.
He's
awesome.
He's so good because I hate him so much.
The faces he makes.
Yeah, Bill doing the Clay Matthews at the end was amazing.
Derek Chin says that talking about Big Bill was like a Zeus body slam.
A big Zeus body slam.
Have you seen Zeus get body slammed?
Dr. Dementor? Not even a real doctor.
I was sore for weeks. I was so sore. I did that shit for an audition, believe it or not. And only one of those three did I do properly, and it was the very first one.
What don't you do for a job?
Hey, listen. I'm vegan. I even ate meat for an audition once. Austin, hey, listen, I'm a vegan until it's like $5,000. Austin Judd McCarthy says, when I say I was hyped for Bill, I was so convinced the fight was over and I was literally yelling when he hit that body slam. The war cry at the end gets me every time. The performer was so great. I absolutely agree. Custom for the Kid says, now does Bill end up getting arrested or does he get named the new chief of police? I think that's where it's going to end up, honestly.
Chief.
At least that's what I want to believe.
First arrested, probably.
Yeah. Austin says 100% arrested. LOL, that chief is petty. The Bombshell Blurt said, yes, very stressed out about episode 9, replying to staff here. And Austin Judd McCarthy says, I was sad they killed Mark's character off, to be honest. Yeah, I guess we'll get to that. I totally get it was meant to be Lee Young's turning point. It was done so well, but also wish he did more stuff outside of the long Z with Assam too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, let's get to that then, right? So before we get to that, there's a couple things. There's so much in this episode. Oh my God. We showed it earlier with a toy and the other pimp coming back, trying to get his at the wedding and, a toy taking him out. But then we see Perry in the middle of the night, young June waking up with a knife to his throat. And then Perry seeing it and being like, oh my God, what did I do? And just breaking down, and this broke me. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, that scene absolutely broke me. Again, Perry's knocking it out of the park. He is making up for not being in those first few episodes this season by just giving it absolutely everything in every fucking scene he's in. And I absolutely, I love it. Like, I'm all for it, and I hope we get... I'm hoping this isn't the end of Father June's story this season.
It's always tough to see a man's mortality showing up.
Yeah.
Especially a man who plays a character that's such a larger than life individual.
Oh, absolutely. And you want to talk about someone else who's been killing it and not being in very many episodes this season? It's our girl Emily as Lucy. I mean, this scene when Bill comes home, just takes his jacket full of blood, and she plays this so fucking cool. And then when he's like, yeah, it was a chief I got in a fight with. He had it coming, tried to get the Donahue boys out. And she just grabs the bottle. I'm like, I love you so fucking much.
We love you, Emily.
She's more.
She's done running. She's gonna go wherever Bill ends up going.
Yeah, she's full in at this point, right? Like, she absolutely, like, she thinks he did the right thing at this point. The bombshell blurred says, Perry crushed me. I don't want to lose Father June. None of us do. Austin says, Mylin could live through it all. She either dies the villain this next season, which is very likely, but when eventually she loses power and Assam is going to protect her, future season's plot, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
The entire season.
I love Lucy.
That was Derek Chin. And the bombshell blurt says, Lucy is so great. She knows who she married, LOL. And Aaron Anthony Lyle says, I completely agree. Emily is a fantastic actress. She's so, honestly, though, and this isn't us just, bloviating or sucking up to the cast or anything like that. We love the show because I don't know if everyone on the show was a fantastic actor or actress beforehand, but I know the performances that we have seen throughout the entire series, all three seasons, has been off the fucking chart with everybody. Like, so much so that we want Rich Ting back, and Rich has been gone since season one. I mean, yes. The acting is just that good. Even the people we hated, the former mayor, like, are we going to see Penny Blake back? I miss Penny, you know? Zing, Dustin Gwynn. I mean, there's just so much. Johnny Salinas the third says, hi, guys. Loving the Hop This Way podcast. Oh, thank you so much. Happy and honored to be part of this tremendous Warrior extended family.
Yes.
Thanks, brother. Much love back out to you as well. And Austin says, Austin Judd McCarthy says, two things. One, a Toys Katana outfit, and fans were dope. Right? That's what she was. Oh, it was Mortal Kombat, not Street Fighter. Katana, mm-hmm. You're right. Two, Perry's performance in that scene, just 95% sure he's going to ask Young June to kill him, though. Die with dignity and whatnot. I could see something like that, or him just trying it himself.
Yeah.
You guys are killing me with this stuff, though. Don't make me cry on air. Ragu says, Emily and Lucy can do no wrong. That scene in the end with Emily as her husband gives the drink was hilarious. Yeah,
that was.
Thanks for tuning in, brother. And thank you for everybody that's tuning in right now. We're getting a lot of viewers again. We absolutely love you all for coming along this journey with us, where we feel like that little show that could. That's right. Lots of love right there.
You know, what's really cool is with the fans and everybody commenting, like, my sister is now full on in. She said, okay, I think I'm starting to have an unhealthy obsession.
Well, she needs to start commenting too then.
I know. Well, I mean, again, she wanted to, like, you know, again, she's got three kids. So she really, really, really was excited that she was going to make a very conscious effort to comment on the live. And then I came here. So she can't, you know, she's in person, but yeah, she start, you know, now I think it was like Jonathan Mann or Joshua, someone in the Warrior group. Now she's finding that as she comments, I know this person, this is Warrior fam. So a whole other engagement with everybody. So my sister's loving it. Everyone who tunes in, she loves all of you guys too.
Well, we love her too.
Let me shout out to Johnny Salinas. I have seen your likes on Instagram. Thank you for following.
Yes, thank you.
You guys are all great.
Yay.
Aaron Anthony Lyle, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name. I absolutely love the series. I've always wanted something like this. Joe Taslim is amazing. I can't praise these guys enough. Andrew, Jason, Perry, Diane. I betray the whole Tong for my Ling. I hope for at least two more seasons.
You like to wish.
It's an unhealthy obsession for me too. Well, as long as it's not a creepy one. Austin Judd McCarthy says, honestly, can't believe I'm just now recently finding this channel though. I've been watching live since season two started airing after binging season one and definitely needed this community sooner. We love you guys. You guys are too much. And wait till Matt's back. Just wait till Matt's back. Because I can tell you this match, this much, Matt's missing you guys all very much so. And just a reminder, the reason why Matt isn't here, he's part of the Actors Guild, and he's striking with his fellow actors. I'm an actor as well. I'm not in the union. I also live in Canada, so it's different here for us. The way I try to explain it to people, if Toyota employees were striking, Ford employees wouldn't strike as well. I'm just saying, two separate plants. So that's the whole thing there. Anyways, right back here, Raghu says, those teases with Atoy using her fan, Young June using knives, Atoy using a sword are homages to Bruce Lee was planning to make a period piece film, and pictures of Lee in costume were shot. Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Look for that. Yeah, there are some pictures of those of Bruce Lee wearing Shaw Brothers era costumes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they're out there.
I didn't know that. I'm gonna
have to find that.
Laugh flex and everything.
Aaron says, I literally tell everyone I meet about the show. I want everyone to know about it. I can't wait to see what happens with Penny and Zing 2. You're actually pronouncing it correctly. Oh, thank you. Just so you know, the best way to tell people about our show, honestly, and the best help you can do for us, because believe it or not, it cost us a little bit of change to do this show here. And you can please just go follow us on this. And this is the cheapest way to do it. Go to the Hop This Way Show on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Share the shit out of our YouTube page. And make sure you comment during our shows. Our streams, even if you're not watching it live and you watch it on YouTube later, put your comments up there. We check those out periodically, and those comments really do help drive up our numbers. And we want to get to that point where we can start doing the super chats and things like that, so that those of you that want to help support the channel, you can that way. And we would love you so much for it. And of course, there is always going to Spotify. Or Shopify, myshopify.com. Go to the
I do that all the time.
myshopify.com. And if you go there, you know, you never know what you're going to find. I mean,
let's just say there isn't any warrior gear. And I mean, you got the next
best thing.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Like, look at that. You can get yourself a nice little wine cozy. You can get yourself some Hop This Way gear. You've all seen the shirt, but y'all need a mug. You know that.
Yeah.
The coffee mug is a must. Sorry, now that I'm actually done pimping out our show. You can catch Diana Lee in Asando in the upcoming Ahsoka series. I fucking can't wait. I love her so much.
Oh, yes.
And not only do I love Diana Lee in Asando, who is Bruce Lee's step or goddaughter, I believe.
Yeah.
Daughter. Yeah, she was in Book of Boba Fett. The Mandalorian, that's right.
And, same universe.
Yeah. She's amazing, and she's coming back with that character. I would love to see her on Warrior. I'm not gonna lie. I'm surprised we haven't seen her yet, because she's a fine martial artist herself. Austin says, honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a show of this quality and entertainment value be so underappreciated. It's honestly criminal if it doesn't get a season four, I swear. I think it will, honestly. I think season four. This is, you guys got to remember, this is the number one show on on Max's streaming service worldwide. So they can't ignore those numbers. I can't see them not doing, because to them, it's not a fourth season. To Max, it's going to be a second season, right? Because this is only they flip the bill for this season, and they're going to flip the bill for season two. And then after season two, I think that's when they'll reevaluate things. Aaron Anthony Lyle says, what's up with Lai? Oh, man, am I the only one who saw her at the end of the last episode? I love the series because it's so well done, especially with the whole diversity thing going on. The series does all of that, but organically, nothing forced or included, just because. The writers, the actors, the crew, it's an amazing show. Yeah, this is one of those shows where people can't cry about it being woke or anything like that, where they're doing true diversity without shoving, like you said, without it feeling like people are shoving it down your throat.
Well, in many ways, they told the line perfectly.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, it is a global show. You know, you got people like Trevor. Shout out to Trevor. You comment on a lot of our YouTube videos also. Like he talks about how he learns a lot about the history from people from China in the elder group that he's in. He talks about that in the on the Facebook group as well. You know, you got Taslim from Indonesia. You got Perry from the U.S. You got Olivia and Diane from Canada. You got all those actors from Europe. You know, Dean, Kieran,
Andrew. Andrew's from England, right? And he's Japanese, isn't he?
Andrew's half Japanese, half British. It's really a globally produced show, or it's got reaches in different corners of the globe. So I think because of that, it comes through on its own, especially since Chopper seems like he's given a voice to everyone else. You know, everyone does get a voice, including someone like who.
Yeah.
So you got East Coast, West Coast in the U.S., you know, South Africa, South America.
Hong Kong.
Yeah, Hong Kong, Jason, Europe, you know, so it is everywhere.
Yeah.
And not to interject a little bit for relating to Trevor. So I guess he had been in one other thing, but this was really his first TV audition. And then it, it was as an extra. So when we met him in Cape Town, he told us that. And then he was selected to have the role. And then to watch our new friend, you know, because he they were filming, to watch our new friend be the focal point of the elders. Like he's right there in the middle, like, and you know, I remember being in the car with him talking about the fact that he and his siblings were taking accent classes so that they could have a more proper like American accent, right? When it's switching to when they're speaking amongst each other. So just the fact that, you know, they're reaching that point and hearing him overcome the Chinese who has the South African accent to then have an American accent. And so just watching this all unfold, I'm happy for them. I'm just so happy for Trevor. I mean, this is awesome for him.
Well, you know who else was happy? Joe or Leong was happy for a little bit when he was getting a little bit of sticky with Diane.
At the peak of his happiness.
Something was definitely peaking there. But as all the peaking was going on, as we've already mentioned here, my link sent out a bunch of Long Z assassins out to go take out the heads of the other Tongs. And the last one they tried to do was Kung Pak. And that did not take. And he came back and he confronted them both. And he showed Leong what Mai Ling tried to have done to him. And right away, like, Leong looked pissed. And Mai Ling was like, you know, I was doing this for us because what they did, they tried to come between us. And it looked like he was going to go after her. And instead, he just kind of pushed her aside and was like, he stood between her and Kung Pak. And I mean, that was drawing the line in the sand right there. And I mean, Mark was like, I'm all in. Pulls out the sword. He was all in. Like we had, as you said, this, Frank, this was a great fight by two fantastic martial artists.
A lot of, and a nice little tribute to the theme of the Kung Fu fight in the courtyard. There's a lot of Kung Fu movies, Kung Fu TV shows that have that, they have moments like that, you know, So different things like fighting around the pillars, you know, Joe jumping across the, you know, that was an incredible piece of work by Taslim there. Also the element of the weapon, the element of Mai Ling being vulnerable, you know, being unable to handle herself in that situation. So that was, and just the skill level between Taslim and DeCascos and the stunt folks involved. That was the peak of the action quality in the show.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe one of the best parts of this fight, I mean, just the absolute speed of Joe Taslim.
Don't do it!
that was okay. Jonathan Tropper, okay. There is a scene from Banshee that I will never get out of my mind.
Oh, with
and there with, he just did it again.
Yeah, with what was his name? Chate, the big native
the
dude.
Chick. And that, yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he takes uh-huh. oh, takes out Hood's girlfriend, the deputy. Like mm-hmm. snaps her neck. Oh my mm-hmm. god. Guys, mm-hmm. go watch Banshee if you exactly. haven't seen Banshee before. Just go watch Banshee.
That's what I was telling them. I said, now that you guys are all intense on Warrior, you have to see Banshee because Jonathan Tropper, you're just magic.
And he makes us feel. He makes us feel with scenes like this. And when I like Lee Young basically tells Diane, like Mai Ling, beat it. Like get out of here now. Like I just killed my best friend for you. For love that I don't even know that I trust anymore. We got a lot of comments here. I'm sorry, folks. Raghu says, I feel like we still haven't seen the likes of Russell Wong, Jason Scott, Lee, Donnie Yen, Robin Cho. My God, Robin, I have not heard that name. And so, Robin Cho, that
Maggie
was,
Q.
Wasn't Robin Cho the Liu Kang from the original Mortal Kombat movie? Feel His me. Name was Robin something.
I can feel my anime.
I don't mean
that was him. Yep.
To be all yeah, extra, yeah. but you know what? My battery's dying. I'm going to be all high maintenance and extra. I have to switch phones. So okay. don't mind me while I just jump phones, guys.
All right. You unplug and come back in. As she does that, we'll get some more comments here. Aaron Anthony Lyle says, I completely agree. This show is criminally underrated. I can't praise it enough. After watching this series, I went down a rabbit hole of Indonesian martial arts film, The Raid 2, and Too Many to Name. The Raid and The Raid 2 are two of the best action movies of all time. Like, I think both of them rank in the top five, which is saying a lot, honestly, and not hyperbole.
This last scene that you show from Lee Young and Compact
yeah.
remind me of Donnie Yen on Ip Man.
Oh, yeah. So quick, just as quick. Looks like we got Steph back. How's the sound, Steph?
Yeah, I just have my I'm having all kinds of like audio with the regular headphones. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, can hear you yeah. fine.
Okay.
Aaron Anthony Lyle says, I think they should bring, I can never say this guy's name, Uki Uwais on for something, anything, or even bring Michael Jai White in. Oh, Michael Jai White would be great. Another great martial artist, man. I could go on and on about the series and endless possibilities with it. Lao Mei Dai, a toy, and that rich dude have a sword fight before the season ends. I can't think of a single reason why they'd show him practicing with his sword otherwise. It'd make a toy livid. Yeah, I don't kill Lai either, please. And
she's going to get them.
Yeah. In case people are wondering what he's talking about,
tell the cook to send me up something in 15 minutes. Very good, sir.
This is how the episode ended, everybody.
That face.
That face, right?
Like I love her so much.
Her face right there was great. I mean,
Jenny, you're awesome.
She's killing it because she's a stunt. She's not an actress. I remember of her in season one and two saying things like, I don't know how to act. I'm so nervous and like that, etc. She's killing it.
She's killing it just with facial expressions. Raghu says that was a Godfather moment with Mai Ling, with the whole systematic killing of the elders was awesome. It definitely was straight out of Godfather. Frank's been saying that for weeks now. The fight scene between Kong Pak and Lee Young was an emotional fight, and Brett Chan tells a story through fighting. He does. Like I said, it is a crime that he has never won an Emmy for stunt coordinating. It just it blows my mind, honestly. Desmond Roman says, It's hard to believe that Joe Taslim comes from a judo background and not a wushu or a taekwondo background. Agreed.
Oh, he does. He did taekwondo growing up.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah. And he's just such a good athlete. So.
Yeah. The bombshell blurred says, definitely reminiscent of the Godfather baptism or Cersei blowing up the sept. I really hate that Mai Ling forced Li Yang to make that decision. You could see his heartbreak. Oh, man. And I think all of ours did. Aaron says, I'm currently watching Banshee 2, currently on season 2. Hoon Lee does a fantastic job in everything I see him in.
A fantastic job
in everything he does. If you know, you know. Go watch Banshee, folks. Go fucking watch Banshee. It's so good. And yes, Leary's bar is called the Banshee as a nod to that series.
And I want to know how many times Job says motherfucker in Banshee.
As many times as me and Matt do in one episode. Because we're the motherfucking best. Robert Carl Ringo says, RCR, says, brutal, gut-wrenching fight scene. So much emotion in a fight. Crazy. And that's Brett. That's Brett and his team. I don't want to say it's all Brett, but I mean, because we know Johnny is so big on that, and I'm sure there's even more people that are involved in choreographing those. Yeah, Jason, right? So, Robin Show, yep, Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat. Anthony or Aaron says, holy shit, Russell Wong, Vanishing Sin. Yes, Robin was the OG Liu Kang. Spencer Benjamin Yee, do you think Li Yang is going to abandon the Tong and leave Chinatown? Let's post that to the group. Frank, what do you think?
Only if Mai Ling dies.
or Becca.
You only stand by her.
Well, he's going to... I think Chow will have a lot to say about that. Because the last time that Leon took a drastic action, Chow was also behind him with Zing. And this time, Chow's playing marriage counselor and saying that Leon also has a lot of power in that dynamic. He has a lot of power in the Tong now, because Mai Ling did eliminate the elders who were opposing her, but now those elders are also not opposing Leon. So Leon still commands a lot of loyalty on his own because of his ability and also because of the respect that he's gained. So
true.
The last scene shows him walking off in the rain alone. So I don't know if that's some symbolism for he's going to go his own way, or what is that going to mean?
Good point. Steph?
I don't think he would. I mean, think about, Frank just said, he has earned this respect and this position. Think of how his men responded. Well, Longzi men responded to him, when it came to Father Jun. So there's, they follow him. So I wouldn't picture him abandoning that as a leader. Even though he's, quote, under Mai Ling, look at the respect. I don't think he would do that to them. I don't think he would do it to the rest of the Tong.
Do you think he usurps? Thank you, Mai Ling, and gets her out of, because he has the backing of the Tong, right?
I don't think we'd have a Jon Snow moment. I don't think we would, but if he had to push into a corner, I think he finally would have to. If something else drastic, she pulled some other shit.
Austin Judd McCarthy says, Li Yang was wrong, though, to be honest. Kung Pak was right. She won't stop. I have conflicting emotions since Mai Ling suffered so much, but at this point, she's super dangerous to all of Chinatown. Right. Yes. And to herself and to everyone around her. Aaron Anthony Lau says, Vanishing Sun, not Sin. Autocorrect moment.
They all try to remember him, how long they died.
Yes.
Want to see
they it. Just did that. Yep. And I think the tone of voice that she had when she was in tears leaning forward and said, we're free.
Yeah.
Okay, so that showed a different level of, I would say, intent, emotion with her.
Desperation, though.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's really the path. That's been her motivating factor. Yes, obviously businesswoman and so on. But she wants to be free. That's really it. It's the scrappy survivor deep down.
For sure.
She always says, like, I did it for us. When she killed Long Z, she told him the same thing. I did it for us.
Yeah. I think she'd been manipulating him since season one, though. Raghu says, one of my favorite funny fight scenes is when Joe Taslim beats Tyrese senselessly in the Fast and Furious 6. Agreed. Austin Jed McCarthy says, it's kind of late here and I have to get some chores done before bed, but the stream was great. I hope to catch the next one again live. This week's episode is going to be insane. I can't wait. Thanks for joining in, buddy. We're almost done this episode as well. The Bombshell Blurt says, lie, that sword fight will be epic. I just hope so. Lie is a savage, says Austin. I bet whatever happens, she takes out the whip, dude, before the end of the episode. Yeah, I hope she takes him out, but I hope she doesn't get taken out herself. And I think we went over everything there. Oh, except for Mark. We saw Mark in the coffin as Leong went to Chow. And as you mentioned, Frank, Chow basically told him, you know, you can do this, you know, like she can't do it on her own.
Mm-hmm.
He says
he broke it down to her. Broke it down to Leong, like, okay, as in, you know, she needs you. Don't get it twisted. Let me just adjust this and get your mentality straight. Okay, like, she needs you.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this. Before the end of the show here, I'm going to go around the table here to all the Tong members, and we'll do it reverse order today. We'll start with Rebecca, go to Steph, and then to Frank. Rebecca, who is your MVP or your warrior of the week?
Father Jun, because he always has the right thing to say. And the conversation that he was having with Yong Jun, saying that Mai Ling and Asama are not trustable. And Yong Jun tried to defend Assam, saying that he will never oppose him to take over the throne. And Father Jun says, I told the same thing about you. So he's always pointing the direction to Yong Jun. He always have some very simple and meaningful things to say.
Couldn't agree more. Steph, who is your warrior of the week?
Oh, Lee Yong. I mean, just the turmoil that he went through, but to have to, in that moment, make a life-changing decision of who to kill. I mean, that was just, it was a lot. But just the acting, it was all so intense. And that's just, I would say, the most meaningful or intense scene, you know, to me with Lee Yong and the emotion. And when he just looked up at her and he's just like, go, you know, I mean, it's just, it was everything. It was everything. There's so many other parts. It was such a Bill episode too. So there's so many favorites, but that was the impactful one.
Yeah. Frank?
Big Bill. They finally used his name.
Big Bill.
Yes!
He delivered on the ass kicker that we all wanted to see. And now, funny thing, between him and Leary, they've flipped spots a little bit. Bill used to duck his head at Leary, and now it's kind of the other way around. And even though I was thinking about this earlier, even though Leary is quote unquote the head of the Irish, he doesn't actually have people that he could just command at his fingertips, and Bill does. So Bill's kind of shown, maybe Bill's to a certain extent an Irish mob boss now, you know, Leary is maybe a co-head, or in some ways, maybe actually the first to go now. So it's still evolved as a character strongly this episode.
Hmm.
And speaking of that backup, I think of, was it Stone and Harrison, the other two cops? Okay, Stone, you see in the fight scene, he's like, get up! Now he's cheering on Bill. But before the fight started, and he, you know, what Chief is telling him to, you know, cuff him, and there's Nicholas Pauling, Harrison, saying, I left my cuffs upstairs.
Yeah, that was great.
Loyalty.
Loyalty. RCR says, MVP Lee Yong for defending his love. I'm a sucker for that shit. Big Bill, honorable mention. Derek says, my MVP was Chow for writing this episode and saying to Lee, you have cousin you forget to kill? That was great. The best part about that was Lee laughed. Like, Lee smiled and chuckled at it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. For me, my MVP, you know, this was a tough one because there were so many great ones in here. Of course, you know, you can go Perry. You could go Jason in this episode. Big Bill's an obvious one as well. But mine, and I can't find the picture here for some reason. I don't know why. But mine was Kung Pak.
Oh.
I mean, Mark was fantastic in this episode. Every scene, just the intent, the anger in his eyes, just every line he delivered was great. And that fight scene, that's got to go up there with one of the best fight scenes on the series so far, right?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In this is why they brought it.
Season two, we have one that even co-leader ranked as one of the 10 best scenes was Zing.
Oh, yeah.
Leon.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
This one was the best so far.
Mm. I really like Leary and Assam. Was that season one?
True.
Where they fought in the circle there and
yeah,
and Assam landed the first chest punch on him there. True. Yeah. The bombshell blurt says MVP lie because I'd love to see how she got that job. She also says very sad to see Mark go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Aaron Anthony Lyle says Mark DaCosta did an amazing job as Kung Pak.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
Cheers for him.
And you know who else did an awesome job? Each and every single one of you that tuned in today to this show. And you guys were great with your questions, for liking and sharing. As I said before, if you can, the show's almost over now, but after the show's over, if you're not watching on YouTube, please go over to YouTube and give us a like and a subscribe over there. Comment on all our videos. Give us a review even if you can. That'd be great. But listen, if you can't watch the show live, and then you don't want to watch it on YouTube later, you want to listen to this maybe. You're like me, you do a lot of walking, and you listen to podcasts while you're out on a walk. Well, we got you covered too, because we are up on all the podcasting streaming services. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. That's right, folks. We are everywhere. And, of course, if you wanted to, you know, follow some of us as well online, you could follow me at RatGZeus. That's my YouTube. And, of course, Zeus_Fleming_actor on IG. We got Miss Steph, of course, on IG at Asian Hip Hop Hippie. Rebecca Nishi on IG, Rebecca Nishi, at Warrior Max Geek and at Warrior Max Fans. And of course, the professor himself, Frank and Martial Arts on IG. That's right, folks. I hope you all had a good time today. Oh,
yay!
Thank you.
I agree with the bombshell. Lie is the MVP this week for me. The bombshell, eh? I think you got a new fan there, Becca. RCR says, hashtag second screen warrior.
Yes.
And Derek says, yay, Zeus, Rebecca, Stephanie, and Frank.
Thank you, Derek.
And what's the YouTube channel again? Hop This Way. That's it. Just go to YouTube. Look up the Hop
This Way Show,
and you will find us. And big thanks to you all. I hope you guys had a great time. We had a great time. And just like we do every week, there's only one way to end this with a little bit of love. And we dip to the side. When I dip, you dip. And we all let's get sticky. And the worst ending in all of YouTube shows.
Sticky, sticky, sticky.
Lots of love, folks.